Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
When you enter a new language and to start learning it, I think what helps me is that you learn to love the people. Mm-hmm. And learning to love the people helps you just embrace all the challenges that can come with the stresses of a language and things.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Measuring Success Right. My name is Spencer McWilliams, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the concept of cross-culture. Now, cross-culture, you can kind of already guess what that already means, but according to Investopedia.com, they give a way better definition than I would give, so I'm going to give their definition. They say that cross-culture refers to a company's efforts to ensure that its people interact effectively with professionals from backgrounds different from their own. Now, we know in today's world that it's nearly impossible to work in a monocultural world with the different mediums of connection that we have. So today, I have a friend here that is going to help me out in talking about cross-cultural communication and experiences, because she's one of the only people I know that just has so many experiences with that. And her name is Jackie. Jackie, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Spencer.
So yeah, Jackie has an awesome backstory with different cultures. So I thought having her on the show would help us in our discussion of cross culture. So Jackie, for those who don't know you, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from? What are you studying? What do you plan on doing after school? All the good stuff.
Yeah, of course. So I am from a small town in Texas called Roanoke. It's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'm studying Arabic and geography here. My plans for after college, I'd love to get a master's degree. I'd love to go on and do a postgraduate degree using Arabic. I'd like to focus on that a little bit more, mm-hmm. just because I've really come to love the Middle East and North Africa region, and I'd love to use language skills in the future. I don't know exactly what my career plans will be. I think I really do have a goal of being a mom and raising my kids to just be good, open-minded, well-cultured citizens, and just having I just want them to understand the world from an international perspective and everything. So I think that's kind of where I'm headed.
Nice.
But I don't see myself at a desk or translating or trying to go into government, doing anything for the UN. A lot of people ask me those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I've looked into a lot of them. I see a lot of pros and cons with them, especially for me and my personality. But
yeah.
I think it's really cool, and I really admire those kind of career positions. But yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. And what really made you want to study Arabic? Because I feel like that's something that, you know, when you come to college, it's not like something for some people, they actually do know that they want to study that.
Yeah, yeah.
And study geography. I was always bad at geography, so I knew that was not for me. But what kind of guided you towards those options?
Quite a few things led to it. I think the simple answer that I give to people is that I was in the military, and I served 6 years. About 6 years. Took a little bit of a break from my mission, but I was looking at career paths and trying to figure out what would be good for the government, what they would want, and other companies if I wanted to do something later. Arabic always seemed like a really strong skill to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my initial, that is kind of why I picked it, was because I was looking for something that would give me kind of a leg up in a career later.
Yeah.
And as I entered the language program, the Arabic program here at BYU, I really just fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with the structure of the language and how it sounded. And I realized that I didn't really want to use it to go I didn't want to use it against anybody. I didn't want to be a spy. Or, I don't know. People ask me things like that all the time. Oh,
really?
So you want to be a spy? No, I don't actually. No. But
I didn't even think of that as like an option.
Really?
I would think like, oh, like Arabic, you could do like translation, but I'm a spy work. That's like.
No. Okay. That is actually one of the more extreme things. Not extreme, but like one of the more there kind of ideas to go and do. It'd be a very hard position to have. No, that's not what I would want to do. But people ask me that all the time. And I'm if that's what I want to use it for. And that was very quickly a no from me. Yeah. I was like, no, I really actually just like the culture. I like the area, the place, yeah. the people. So that's kind of my basic, that's kind of my short answer, is that I actually ended up getting out of the Air Force because I wanted to go and do things like travel to the Middle East, and I wanted to travel and do things more academically and really get my, you know, get myself into the lives of the people, yeah. you know, and I wanted to have time for that. I wanted to be able to travel a little bit more freely and spend time later on with my future family and stuff and have a little bit more free agency. Mm-hmm. Military wasn't going to let me. I don't know. There's a little too many restrictions there. And yeah. so I ended up getting out. And I just, my contract was over and I had kind of had my time. So,
yeah. I think a lot of students can relate with that. And like they go into the major for, or whatever they're studying, they go into it with one thing in mind and then they realize, you know, maybe that's not what I want to do. And I kind of want to translate it into something else. And yeah. so I think that's great that you fell in love with the culture and decided you knew what you wanted to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because I know you personally, I know that you have a lot of experience outside of the U.S. And just experience with interacting with different cultures. So I'd love for you to tell us about all of those different things that you've done and the people that you've interacted with and anything that relates to just interacting with different cultures.
Yeah. So when I was, I'm assuming you're talking about Germany.
Yes, that's so, one of them.
One of them. When I was in high school, I was able to take part in a foreign exchange. It was originally just a 3-week exchange with my classmates, and we were able to go over for the summer for a few weeks, and we had a host family that we were able to stay with. And when I was there, I just fell in love, and I asked very boldly, how do I stay here for a year? How do I stay here? How do I learn the language? I want to stay. And I was able to come back 6 weeks later for the start of the school year, and I was able to stay for the whole year with the host family that I had over the summer. And I was able to spend my junior year of high school in Germany. I really didn't know a lot of German before I went. I had about 2 years of high school German, which means that I knew how to say hi, how are you, good yeah. morning, things like that. It was very basic, and I showed up just completely overwhelmed. And I spent the first 3 months just sitting in classrooms of taking economics classes, geography, history, math. We had an English classroom. We had so many different subjects, chemistry, physics. They have all sorts of, they take way more core classes there than we do here. It's not just four, and then you have a bunch of yeah. electives. It's not mm-hmm. like that there. And that was something I don't think I was expecting. And so I showed up like having to learn a lot more German than I thought I was going to. And like I said, the first 3 months, I was just basically sitting there with a headache in these classes. Coming home and just, I don't know. It was the boldest thing I've ever done, and absolutely one of the best decisions I've ever made. It was, since I was so young, I was only 16 when I moved there. It was just a great start to my teenage life, my young adult life, trying to learn about the world, trying to understand people more. I made so many mistakes and I said so many dumb things. And the Germans, they're such wonderful people. They called me out on it.
Yeah.
You can't say that. You can't.
That's good that they did.
You know, so if I made fun of them for how they said something in English, or they're like, you can't say that. You don't even speak English. Or you don't speak German, you know? I was like, okay, true. I just learned how to read people better. I learned how to recognize the differences. I learned how to, I don't know, I came back to the States afterwards and did my senior year of high school, and it just felt
different.
So different. Everything seemed so insignificant. High school pep rallies and football games. I was
yeah.
like, it didn't have the same effect. I had literally lived in another country and learned another language and eaten foods from all across not only Germany but in other places, Czech Republic, Poland. I had traveled, and now here I am
and the biggest deal of the year is prom. And it's like, really?
Well, it just shows like the difference between like American culture and then European culture. You're like, wow, it's so I watch this video of like what Europeans thought was funny about American culture.
Uh-huh.
And obviously I think football, like tailgate parties is something that they're like, what? Like, that's the thing. So yeah, I can only imagine what that was like coming back and just being like, well, this is very different than this last year that I spent just in a whole other new country.
Yeah, absolutely. My roommates and I were just having a conversation last night about you just mentioned football, but why is American football even called football when everywhere else in the world it's called, it doesn't have a name, it's not a sport, but
American
football is soccer,
football.
And the differences between words like that. And when I went back to the States and things like that were weird to all of my American friends and things, and it was almost, they would laugh at Europeans or they would laugh at South Americans for the way they said things, and it's like, oh, but you guys don't understand, you're the only ones in the world that say things like that,
use
the system of measurement that you do, that, you know, have the phrases that you have, and it's like, it started to seem much more, and I'm not saying that there were good things and bad things about living there, there were good things that I noticed, there were bad things, not bad things, but like, there were things that I noticed that I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Americans aren't awful, but Germans aren't the best people in the world. You know, you have to understand that, or discern. You just have to learn and be able to discern different things. But I don't know.
For sure.
Very interesting.
So when you went to Japan for your mission, was having that experience of going to Germany like kind of make it easier for you? Because I know when missionaries go and they've never been out of the country, like my nephew is going to South Africa. He's never been out of the country.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what that's going to be like for him. But since you had already experienced that, what was that like transitioning to a whole other culture, you know, the Asian culture rather than the European culture?
I will admit, I could have been much more humble when I went into the MTC and I started learning another language. I'll preface it with this. When people ask me now if it's easier to learn another language now that I already speak a few languages, right?
Mm-hmm.
They ask me that, and I say, I don't think it's that I'm going into another language, it's going to be so much easier. It's that I can brace myself for how hard it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I already know how to kind of calm myself down, how to not get frustrated, and how to be patient. So some people, it really freaks them out. They get overwhelmed. And I don't necessarily have all those same feelings anymore because I anticipate that.
Yeah.
So when I went into the MTC to learn Japanese, I was much more calm, maybe a little bit too relaxed and just like, it'll come. I was so easygoing whatever, it'll come. And it did. When I got to Japan, it did come, and I understood that. I was not nearly as stressed. I didn't have the same kind of headaches. I just knew that it would come, and I obviously had a different spiritual level of help that I didn't really have. I didn't reach out for when I was in Germany. I was a little bit too young and didn't really understand that I could tap into that.
Yeah.
But on the mission, that was very much emphasized that, you can pray for help with languages. Oh, okay, yeah, duh. Why didn't I think of that in Germany?
Yeah.
That would have helped me with headaches, you know. But that was also – that didn't really help, though, with my humility. My pride, I should say, because I wasn't very humble. But I went in and I was a little bit too easygoing, I think. But it did help. I wasn't as shocked. I wasn't as overwhelmed. I didn't get as agitated, and that was good, but I did notice it, and I did know it, and I was a little bit, not harder on the other missionaries, but I just made sure that they knew, I'm good. I've done this all before. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I didn't let myself feel the stress that sometimes is healthy to feel.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really think about those feelings that you have when trying to start, to learn a new language.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I went to the MTC to learn Spanish, I feel like since taking Spanish classes in high school and Spanish being spoken here as well in the U.S., I didn't feel as anxious about it because I'm like, okay, I know some Spanish words. Like, I can do this. But, to brace yourself into trying to learn a new language is, I think that's definitely a good skill to have. Mm-hmm. Even for like students, I feel like that will, are trying to learn a new language and maybe like in global business, like I know that could be kind of scary and trying to communicate with someone that can't speak English or yeah. that you're trying to get something across and always using a translator. I bet it's just very stressful. But if they're trying to learn language themselves, being able to brace themselves for it, calm down, could help in that learning process for learning the language.
Right. Something else I thought of while you were saying that is that it can be overwhelming to go to a new place that you don't know anything about. But I think something else that I've learned, it's not just a new language that you're, okay, bracing myself for all the stress that's going to come with that. But also I've learned that with every language comes a culture, a people, new foods, a new region, a new landscape, you know, of beauty. Japan looks completely different from the United States, from yes. Germany, from other places in Europe, from the Middle East, you know. They all are very, very different geographically, culturally and stuff. But when you enter a new language and to start learning it, I think what helps me is that you learn to love the people. Mm-hmm. And learning to love the people helps you just embrace all the challenges that can come with the stresses of a language and things.
So. I love that you said that because that goes along with something else that I read online when I was researching about cross-cultural communication. This website is called Think Bilingual Austin, and it's just a nonprofit that's promoting bilingualism. And they said that in order to develop good cross-cultural communication skills, it requires a commitment to learning about a culture's beliefs, values, and customs. So like you said beautifully, like when you're learning a new language, you're also learning about the people and their culture. Yeah. So for you, what was that learning process like? And how did you like commit yourself to learning that when you were learning a new language?
Germany was just this kind of a rush of... It was very overwhelming, but I was just entranced by just how beautiful Germany was. And the Germans were just such amazing people. And I mean, you can stereotype kind of easily and you find yourself doing that sometimes. But it's really about reaching out to the individual. And that's also very important. And so you're asking about the process of learning a language,
yeah.
right? So they all tie together. Learning about people, learning about culture, learning about the place that you're living in, everything. It's kind of hard to do all of that if you don't know their language.
Yeah.
If you're just sitting over there like, I'm going to resist your language, but I'm kind of curious about what this food is or what, you know, what happened in history here or,
yeah.
you know, why you do things this way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say all this in English and make you struggle to
oh,
talk to
yeah.
me. You know, like that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I had a genuine interest to know all those things about the people and about all those things. And I wanted so badly to learn all of those things that I would make myself look like a fool to communicate with them, you know?
That's an important part of it. That's
yeah.
how you learn.
Yeah, exactly. But because I had developed, and it's funny, you bond with people through struggles like that, I
yeah.
feel like. It's almost, yes, it was embarrassing, but they would just look at me so endearingly sometimes, like, oh, they just loved that I was trying to learn their language. They just, and it wasn't just Germans. It was, when I was in Japan, they would just look at me and be like, oh, wow, your Japanese is so good. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? No, it's not. I've been here for like 5 weeks. And
yeah.
they're just so sweet. They just loved having someone there trying to learn their language. They just loved hearing someone try. And that bonds people, you know? And it shows that I love them. It shows that I'm interested. It shows that I care. And, you know, vice versa. I feel the same way when people come and they're trying to learn English and I'm not going to sit around and giggle at their mistakes. Mm-hmm. When I was 14 or 15, I might have. I was like, well, you say that kind of funny. But
teenagers.
That is... Exactly. And like that's how you learn. But you learn by putting yourself into those other situations, putting yourself into their shoes, you know?
Yeah.
So
I love that, even though that's sometimes really hard.
It is really hard.
I don't know, because I know when you want to impress, like you want to be like, I want to show that I'm competent and like be able to communicate. But
yeah,
I think, like you said, just making those mistakes, people can bond over it, especially if they see if you're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like you said, if, when someone's learning English as a second language and they're trying, like, don't laugh or giggle like as a teenager, but you know, you're appreciating that they are trying to learn and trying to.
Yeah, hopefully people are really impressed.
Yeah, you know? I hope so too. Yeah. It's a hard thing.
It's a really hard thing.
It is really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of talking more about languages, Forbes has an article titled How to Succeed in a Cross-Cultural Workplace. And they discuss this funny little scenario between an American and a Russian individual. So basically, the Russian employee was a little hurt that her American colleagues sent her emails with no greetings. Instead, they just jumped right in and like were telling her like, okay, I need this done and this done. Thanks. And then they just signed with their initials. So I don't know if you've had any like experiences of that where like there's like nuances when you're learning, and like if you were in Germany or Japan where like you say something and then you're just like, wait, I don't know. Have you had any experiences like that?
What? No, I think if anything, I've had it in reverse where Americans aren't nearly as native English speakers. No, just Americans, I think. Our behavior towards, especially our language wasn't built to address our elders.
Oh,
we don't
yeah.
have levels of respect in English. That's kind of what I thought of when you said that, even though I know you're kind of referring into it the other way around.
Yeah.
But it is differences. And some languages are designed differently to address certain people. And it affects the workplace. It affects, you know, the business world and stuff. And that I think Americans, we just have, we have more educated speech, and we have ways of speaking more politely to other people. But in languages like German and English, and I know of many like other languages for sure, have levels of like formality.
Yeah.
Japanese has a whole system of different words that you would use to address someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes up and up and up and up in how you would talk to them. And it's really interesting because as missionaries, we were trying to use one that was really formal, but not so formal to where we were talking to a king.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, they're not a king. You don't have to, like, bow. You don't have to, like, overwhelm them.
Mm-hmm.
But it needs to be formal enough to where you're not talking to little children.
Yeah.
And there's a whole system there. In German as well, where you speak to anyone older than you a certain way than you would if they were your friends or if they were younger than you. I don't know.
So interesting.
It is interesting. And when I remember being there trying to learn how to teach or talk to my teachers differently than how I would talk to my peers, oh, and I'd get it switched up all the time because I'm not used to differentiating between those different words. And so it was tricky for me to learn that, you know?
Yeah.
It's not something we have in English. So
that's so funny to think about, because when you said that, I was like, wait, you're actually right. We don't really, I mean, yeah, if we, there's, like, someone, like, an elderly, mm-hmm. I mean, we could say, like, sir or ma'am.
Yeah, sir or ma'am.
But there's nothing, there's, like, I think that's the only level of, like, respect that mm-hmm. we would give, whereas in other languages, like you mentioned, there's, like, tons of different levels.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think how that could play out, like, in the workplace. And I don't know, when I read that scenario of, like, the American and then the Russian, it just made me kind of laugh a bit, because I was like, oh, I could totally see like myself sending an email. Well, I don't know. I feel like I send an email with too many exclamation points and I'm like very, I'm very apologetic in my like emails if I have to send them, but how maybe like another culture could take that and be like, I don't know. It just definitely makes you have to be aware of how you're saying things. And
right.
like you said, getting to know like other cultures that you're going to be interacting with, that way you can know about their behaviors and
yes
how they're different from our behaviors.
Right.
Okay. So another thing that happens in the workplace is disagreement, which also happens outside the workplace too, as you're talking to other people. I know disagreements can be kind of perceived in different ways in different cultures, as I've read about a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, was there any kind of like different ways that people disagreed that you came across that was different than like how like Americans disagree?
The only thing I could think of is I feel like Americans can be a little bit more passive. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are thinking, are you kidding? Americans can get so like hot-tempered or something. I don't know. It depends on the individual.
Yeah.
And obviously, as an American, I know that America is filled with lots of different types of people from different backgrounds.
We
have, it's quite the mixing pot here. It's very hard to define what an American is.
Yeah.
We don't have a specific ethnicity or race, or it's very mixed here, which I love and it's great, but it also makes it hard to be like, oh, well, Americans do this. That's very much stereotyping, and it's almost stereotyping just the people that I kind of grew up with, if I were to say it, you know? So I want to be careful to say that. I don't know. I'm trying to think. My experience in Germany, I think I was around a lot of teenagers and a lot of my peers as a 16-year-old. And I remember really enjoying, like, it was quite a breath of fresh air to have people just kind of tell me straight up how things are supposed to be. No, Jackie, that's not what you're supposed to say. Nope, that's wrong. Oh, no, we don't actually do that here. Oh, okay, thank you. I appreciated that. I didn't want somebody to just walk on eggshells around me and not want to hurt my feelings. It was very direct, and I loved that. And not everyone was like that.
Yeah.
That's also a bit of a stereotype that Germans can be a bit more blunt and curt sometimes. But I honestly wish that the people I grew up around were a bit more like that, you know?
I know, yeah.
So,
and there's nothing wrong with being blunt.
No,
or like,
I actually very much appreciate it.
I know. When it comes to those things, like, it's never like, oh, this is the right way to do it and this is the wrong.
Right.
That, if that's just how they do it, then it's just...
Yeah, and sometimes it can be a very individual thing, like, no, this is the way I like it to be done, so please do it my way, please.
For sure.
If when you're around me, please do it like this. Okay, you know, if I'm in someone else's home, that's also fine. And these are my experiences that I have the most, like, you know, that I've experienced the most are with these two countries. I'm sure you're probably giving me a little bit too credit that I'm really well-traveled. I've been to lots of places, but the experiences that I've had with the people are really just these two places. But Japan, they're not like that at all, I guess. I don't know. It is very different. They're very sweet. I wouldn't say they're necessarily passive. I think they're just really sweet. If they want to correct you, you have to ask them what you need to be, what you need corrected. Mm-hmm. And they will, but it's just very sweet, I feel like.
Like, not as outright as, like...
Yeah, no. And I might be wrong. Like, I can just keep getting all the exceptions. Oh, unless it's an individual that just has different personality. You know, that can be said for everybody in every culture and every place. But I don't know. That's a little bit harder to say, just because Japan was also a little bit different because I was around missionaries a lot.
True. It's a different environment.
Different. Yeah, a little bit different. I don't want to say I wasn't immersed, because I did do a lot of speaking with a lot of natives. But being in, like, Germany was so different because I was only with Germans in their homes, in their schools, around them so much. And I really felt like I got to know them and understand them and almost adapted a lot of their behaviors for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like I left a little bit more German than I was American sometimes, and I felt like people made comments about the way that I acted when I came home. I don't know, maybe that's not 100% true, but I felt like it. I felt like I was carrying myself a little bit differently, whereas with Japan I just observed a little bit more from a distance, which is sometimes a little bit harder to get the full picture of what it's actually like.
That's true.
And I was in Germany much longer than I was in Japan as well.
So that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting to hear, like, I don't know, since I've never been to either country, like, just to even hear, like, snippets of what you've experienced, even though maybe you don't think it's as much. It's more than me. Maybe more than other people that are listening. So it's just cool to hear other people's experiences of them, like, being in a different country and, like, what they think and, like, what their perspective was.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, for those who may find themselves in a workplace or a business with cross-cultural, in a cross-cultural workplace, I should say, What kind of tips would you give to other people who may be interacting with cultures that they've never interacted with before?
I would say for some people, it comes very naturally to just be a little bit more open-minded about where someone's from. It takes a lot of asking questions. It takes a lot of really wanting to know and understand someone else. For some people, they can get really caught up in what they're doing in their own lives. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because, I don't know, it might mean that they're a bit more fit. I don't know. Who knows? Everyone's different. Maybe they're just really good at what they're doing. I don't want to put blame on someone and say that them not asking questions to someone or being open-minded is a bad thing. It just takes practice.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't always have the opportunity to practice. They haven't had the opportunities to travel as much. They haven't had the opportunity to be surrounded by people from lots of different places. Or maybe they've only been surrounded by, or they grew up in a very homogeneous area. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad people. Like that's not at all what I'm trying to get at. I do feel like it's a very important thing to recognize, though, when it's hard for you to talk about different things with other people.
Yeah.
Like if you recognize, like, oh, that person's from this other place on the other side of the world, therefore, I have no idea what to ask them. Like, I don't think I'll ask them anything then.
Yeah.
That's not a very good sign of good communication, of good people skills. Like, that's something that you'd have to kind of look inward and be like, hey, like, how do I fix this, you know?
Yeah.
And that could really enhance your workplace environment, your people skills. And there are just because there are differences, cultural differences, doesn't mean that you don't have this best friend right there waiting for you know?
Yeah.
And I think some people kind of forget that just because there are differences doesn't mean that you can't find so many other things to get along with, like to find in common, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty young and I don't have a whole bunch of experience in a career, or I have had jobs where I've had to work with other people. A lot of people have been more similar to me. They've been either here from Utah, or they've been from Texas or from different places around the United States. I have had colleagues, and especially being in the Air Force, I will mention that in the Air Force, there have been lots of people who come to get their citizenship through the military, and we have lots of immigrants that come. And that has been really cool because that's one thing that we already have in common, is that we feel a need to serve this country.
Yeah.
And we are working in a hospital together, or working in an office together or something like that. And we're able to kind of bond over our knowledge about the military or something. And so I shouldn't just say that, yeah, we're in the military, but I don't know, he's from Mexico. I don't know how good his English is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much he knows, or I don't want to, like, I don't know why he came here. That's weird. Why would he come and join the United States military?
Yeah.
So if I start going through and asking those kind of questions to myself, well, why don't I just go ask him myself? Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
What made you want to join? I don't know. Some people feel like the questions they ask might be offensive, or they might be weird, and you do have to be careful, but it takes practice and you are going to make mistakes. I just admitted earlier that I made a lot of mistakes, that I went to Germany and I asked questions that people had to tell me, oh,
that's not the right question to ask.
That's not the right question to ask. Or you got to be careful asking that. Like, I'll answer this, but be careful. Or, you know, you're around different people with a different mindset now, you know, and people will hopefully, if they are, I don't know, you don't want to just practice offending people, but you do want to be cautious. I don't know. It just takes practice and getting to know different people. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, yeah. I think that's a good answer.
Takes sensitivity.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think when you think of those kind of questions in your head, and I don't know, sometimes if you just think about them and you don't, like, maybe ask them or anything, like, you can start making assumptions, and then that can get to a very – that doesn't always lead to the right – path when you're trying to get to know someone, especially.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think you made a really good point there.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not sure, then maybe start off with some questions that are just that everyone would want to be asked. Like, how's your family? Or how are, you know, where are you from? you know, just different things that you'll be safe with. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then let that connection that you develop just little by little just kind of develop, and things usually can go a little bit more naturally from there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so a question that we always like to ask our guests on the show, because this is called Measuring Success, Right, is we want to know, how do you measure success in your life?
Yeah, I've already mentioned that I'm not super career-driven, but I love learning, and I know that whatever we acquire in this life, we'll be able to take with us in the next life.
Yeah.
And the same goes with our family. I think my family is very important to me too. My future family, I think that's really important to me. And I think I will feel successful. I feel successful when I learn new things, when I feel accomplished in language skills, in knowing about other places, in being able to connect with other people. And I think being able to pass that down to my future children and having them be good, open-minded people and knowing how to communicate with others in whatever language that might be, but not just like, okay, kids, go take your Spanish classes at school or go on your missions,
yeah.
But like really them wanting to learn and having a desire to communicate with other people and getting to know them and have a genuine interest in what's going on in the world, mm-hmm. in different places. And that would give me a lot of, I feel like that would give me a lot of joy, and that would, I would rather have that. I'd rather have good children with strong testimonies and a big, happy family than some other, I don't know, than what other people, I don't know. It's not that, I don't know. I think that's kind of what I strive for most. I don't know.
It's your own personal way of success, and that's totally okay.
Yeah, I want a big family, and I want them to go out and love the world and to love people and to love the gospel.
Yeah,
that's my simple answer.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, yes. Jackie, for joining us today.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay, and thanks everyone for listening. We hope you have a great rest of your week. Bye.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.